Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope all you saints and any seekers listening in are doing well. Had an awesome day street preaching today in a busy tourist town. Hopefully my voice will hold out for this audio teaching. Had a young saint, very young saint, but striving in the Lord. What an encouragement. Asking me a question, and I thought I would bring it because I've never really taught on it on the teaching blog. Men's hair length in the Bible. Men's hair length in the Bible. Now, we always use the Word of God as our authority. We can't add to it, can't take away from it. The Bible does not give us a lot of dogmatic, that means no for sure, 100%, information on men's hair length. Now, we have some historical observations about how the Jewish men had shorter hair, and we can look at that, but biblically speaking, we don't have a lot to go on. We know that the depictions of Jesus with really long, flowing, feminine hair, they don't match what we're going to see in Scripture or even the historical record. These are inventions of man. So let's go to the Word of God, shall we? And see what the Word of God says about hair length for men in the Holy Word of God. Now, the first place that we see hair length for men even being referenced, we don't know about Adam and Eve, we don't know about Noah, we don't know about Abraham. We see the Levitical priesthood, Ezekiel 44. So it's first really taken up with the Levitical priesthood. And Ezekiel 44:20 says this, "Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads." So let's look at that word poll in the Hebrew, kosham. It means to trim or cut. So you're not supposed to shave their head, they're to trim and cut. So the Levitical priests were to trim or cut their hair. They didn't have long hair. Somebody said to me recently, "Oh, the priests all had real long hair." I don't know where they're getting that from, because that's not what Scripture says right here. Priests didn't have long hair. All right. Now, moving on. There is the rare occasion of some men in the ancient Israelite culture that had really long hair. There was a man named Absalom. We'll read a verse there about him. We know a little about him, one of David's sons. Some say his very long hair got him killed. Got his head stuck in some trees. We don't know if it was his hair exactly, but some people say it was his long hair. You can read about that, 2 Samuel 18:9. 2 Samuel 14:26. "And when he had polled his head," that means, remember, trim, "for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it." Remember, trimmed it, that means trim. "He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight." So we see this reference of a rare man with long hair as an Israelite. By the way, side note, I did the math. This man had 4 pounds of hair growth a year. The average weight of a woman's very long hair that would go 3 or 4 feet long is 0.5 pound. This guy had a mane if this was growing every single year. Who knows? He was maybe growing out all the time in vanity. He was a wicked man, we know. He slept with King David's concubines, and he tried to slay his own father, King David. Yeah, you can go read about Absalom. So we see one instance of this man with very long hair, but it's very, very rare. It's kind of like talking donkeys. We see talking donkeys in the Bible one time. They're not common. We don't build doctrine on them. It's something God just did or allowed to happen, or it's something that someone just did, right? Doesn't mean God approved of his long hair. It's just who he was. So moving on, beyond that, so we have the priests with short hair. We had one man, Absalom, had long hair. We do see a thing called a Nazirite vow. This appears 12 times in the Old Testament. All right. Numbers 6:2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either a man or a woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. Little side note here again, seems like it was available to a woman, although all the references say he, his. So we don't ever read of a woman doing this, but God left that open back in the Old Testament. It does not appear in the New Testament, other than Paul had a vow in Acts 18:18. You can go read about that. And there was some vow of others in Acts 21:23, but the word Nazarite vow doesn't exactly appear. That Nazarite vow, all right, it was a vow of no wine and not cutting your hair during the vow period. And what a Nazarite is Nazar in Hebrew means consecrated, devoted to God. It was apparently a special higher calling, higher vow, and God required they not partake of the grape, which was wine, and also that they wouldn't cut their hair. We don't really have any information on exactly why. This is just what God did, and we have to go with it. Now, some say John the Baptist was a Nazarite from this verse, Luke 1, verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. So, some say he was a Nazarite. We don't know. There's a hint there, but we just cannot say. We just don't know that much about this vow other than what we read in Scripture. All right, again, the grape was to be avoided, the hair was to go uncut, and we don't even know how long these vow times were. 6 weeks, 6 months, 1 year, we don't know. Numbers 6, verse 5. All the days of his vow, his separation shall be no razor come to his head until the days be fulfilled, in which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. So there you go. Again, it's always talking about he. And so that's what it's talking about. And what he does at the end of this vow is he shaves off his hair and he burns it as an offering. Numbers 6:18. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of his head and his separation and put it in the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. So you see that this is all about the tabernacle. This is all in front of making an offering. Oh, it's all Old Testament stuff. God allowed the uncut hair. It set them apart for his purpose. Again, we don't know why. Don't add to God's word. Don't take away from God's word. If he wanted us to know more, he would have told us more. Amen? So now we have this man, Samson, coming along, who took this, or I should say, was put under this Nazarite vow. And this was a long vow. Not all of them had this long vow. He does, or he did. Judges 13:5. For though thou conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come to his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So Samson had this vow. It was decreed from his birth. So it was a long time. We don't see that being the case with other vows. So again, something a little bit out of the norm. Judges 16:17. He told her that all his heart he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So you notice both times, both of these verses talking about no razor come to your head. So we don't know how long Samson's hair was. Some men's hair would grow extremely fast, I guess. Some not so fast. So we can't envision that they had 6 foot long hair. We just don't know. We just know they weren't cutting their hair. They're abstaining from grapes. They're abstaining from cutting their hair. Again, this was a very rare thing. This is not normal. And we can't speculate exactly why this went on. We just know it's what God allowed, right? Beyond this vow, all right, beyond the vow of the Nazarite, Israelites and their hair was mainly short, with perhaps the sides of the sideburns or the side areas grown out. Leviticus 19:27. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads, Neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. So that was the commandment to the Israelites, not to trim those areas. And this is why you'll see Jews, some Orthodox Jews today, with real long curly things down by their ears. That's what that's about. That was for Israel. That was for that time. Nothing more is really said about hair in the Old Testament as far as length for men until we get to the New Testament. And Apostle Paul, he says this in 1 Corinthians 11:14-15. Or I'll read 14 first. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Interesting. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul in the New Testament says, if a man has long hair, it's shameful to him. Verse 15 says, but if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for her covering. Side note, we know ladies are to wear a veil covering. We teach on that. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. But in general, we see women with long hair and they're veiled, and we see men in the New Testament with shorter hair uncovered. And Paul, the apostle picked by Jesus in Acts 9, trained by the Holy Spirit, approves of this way, again, under the Holy Inspired Spirit direction. We can't avoid seeing this. It's the norm in the New Testament per Paul. It would have been short hair on men, other than a Nazarite vow way back then, and that was Old Testament. We don't see the Nazarite vow being put on Gentiles or us believers today. That's what we have in Holy Scripture, folks. Nothing more, nothing less, unless I'm missing something from my research. We can run into culture, we can run into history, we can run into maybe, could be, possibly. That's what God's Word tells us about hair length on men. In recap, let's look at this. The Old Testament priests had short hair. The Israelite men had short hair. Jesus would have had short hair because he was an Israelite. There was a rare special case of Nazarite vows with longer hair on the men. Maybe women. We don't see any women in Scripture, although it leaves it open. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say, long hair on a man is a shame to him. So men following Christ today in the New Testament would have short hair. Women would have long veiled hair. That's exactly what we see the Scriptures teaching. Now, I've had some men say to me, I've witnessed to people, and I got these men with hair down to the middle of their back, and they say, well, I take a Nazarite vow. Well, there's a problem. There's no basis for a Nazarite vow today in the New Testament word. Otherwise, you're going to have to go back to also killing animals at the tabernacle with the Levitical priesthood. Numbers 6:19. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram and one unleavened cake out of the basket and one unleavened wafer and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after the hair of his separation is shaven. You see, you just can't pull these things out. You can't decide, men, that you want long, beautiful, flowing hair. You're not an Israelite. You're not in a temple. You don't have a Levitical priesthood. We're not killing animals anymore. That was the old. We are in the new. Again, short hair for men, long veiled hair for women. That's what we see in the New Testament word. I have no tape measurements for you. The Bible doesn't give us that. People call us all the time. How long should the skirt be or the dress be? How long should the hair be? We don't have that in God's Word. We have a pattern. And as Paul said, we see what nature shows you, which is the customs that God ordained, right? Which is what's proper and appropriate per God, right? Like with homosexuality, it goes against God's creation, right? Men and women are to be different and separated and not dress and look alike, right? Per God's Word. So we don't have a tape measurement rule. We just know long covered hair for women, short uncovered hair for men. And that's our rule that we go with. And we who are walking by the Spirit of God, trusting in the Word of God, that's enough for us. We don't need to add. Remember, Deuteronomy and Revelation says, don't add to the Word of God. Don't take away from the Word of God. So you must be very, very careful that you're not adding to the Word to make it something that you want it to say to meet your cultural norm or to meet what you want your flesh to have, whether it be long hair, short hair, whatever. We must always rightly divide the word, lest we be led astray. We can't let culture, religious traditions of men or organizations, or our flesh dictate, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we do. We go to Scripture, we divide the word of truth, and we go with what God's word says, what God's people shows us, what's Holy Spirit inspired. And if we do that, we have no other conclusion to make from Holy Scripture than men today are to have short hair, women are to let their hair grow longer, and be veiled. This makes a distinction. This meets God's word for the New Testament. And it's what's proper and pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Hey, excuse me. I hope this teaching's helped you. Length for men and their hair in the Bible. That's what we got. Let's go with it. Let's trust God. Let's be led by the Spirit. And I want to leave you with one last concept. Whenever you are in doubt about something, all right, length of hair, length of a dress, if a color's right, should I use this word? I teach people this. I teach men and women this as I'm discipling them unto Jesus. I teach them this. Always fall on the side of God and the Spirit, not on the flesh and your own ways. So if you're always leaning towards God's way, you know, sometimes you might do things a little bit more than what God's word calls for. But you know what? That's okay, isn't it? Because we're to walk blameless. And that always leads you in the direction of the Lord and the Spirit and the word. I know far too many people that call themselves Christians that are always leaning to the world, to the flesh, to what is carnal. And it always leads them in the wrong direction. So if we take the word of God and it leads us in the right direction, let's lean in that direction to be pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. Amen. That's all I got for you. Till next time, go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Go to the sisters blog. Every day trying to pour out for the saints as we travel and preach the gospel. Going to go back out tomorrow on a holiday weekend and preach the gospel again. God is so good. We just want to lift up this glorious Savior, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only hope for this dying world. This has been Brother James. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Till next time, may God be praised.